Genesis. I know basically everyone in here. I'm going to go in with Hosea 11. And the title of this message is The Faithful and Endless Love of God. How easy that is to be able to speak on. I mean, any of us in here can have a testimony of God's truly, like, endless pursuit of us in our hearts, but truly, like, his faithfulness to where we are in the season that we are, and maybe not our timing, but always in his perfect timing. And for me going into this, it was like, okay, we had a big thing happen this morning and in this week of our next season of life and for our marriage and for our kids, but also going into football season. My husband plays for USF football, so then going into court for my daughter, there's just a lot, and it's so heavy for me. Maybe I was speaking to myself, but I had to sit for a while and really think of, just on the title before I even got to the scripture, of God's faithfulness to me in my life and how I might not have been faithful or loyal to him, but he always sought me out every single time. And his endless love for me. And growing up, I didn't have that endless love. I didn't really have nurture. I didn't really have what that really felt like. I didn't really know what love was until I met Jesus. And it was hard for me to really be in this moment now, being 27 years old and having my husband and my kids, and really think back to, like, that broken 17-year-old me that didn't have a place to call home. I didn't know what love was. I thought that love was having sex with strangers and getting abused for it. I thought that love looked like getting slapped every time you did something wrong, or hiding if you did something wrong, or just not being good enough. I'm being honest with you guys. I thought that's what that was. So for this, I had to sit with it and really just, I got stuck in the title. I didn't even get to the scripture before I was like, God, thank you. Seriously, you chose me. You sought me out when I didn't even look at you. I didn't even know who you were, and you sought me out. Thank you. So then going into scripture, I was like, how? There's no more. I can be done with this. Just give me the title and that's it. I'm going to go for it. But I got into Hosea 1 through 11, and I'm going to read it for you, but I'm going to take it into perspective. If you know anything about me, I like to do that. I like to give life application, because I wasn't necessarily taught how to read the Bible. Yes, cover to cover, you can do whatever you want. But it was harder for me to sit there because I didn't know, like I said, what love was. I didn't know who this guy God was, or there's a son Jesus, and then all of a sudden there's a Holy Spirit too, and then you got to learn all these people. And I'm like, there's no way. There's absolutely no way. So for me, I do life application, because it might have been 2,000 years ago plus, but it's so relevant to today. And when you apply it to what you're going through today and your walk today, you get to truly see the fruitfulness and faithfulness of the Lord in our now season, and decipher and kind of walk through that, and then have that relationship aspect with the Lord and be able to sit with him and say, well, how does this even have anything to do with me? What does Hosea have to do with Genesis or Sharon or anybody else? Okay, so we're going to read through Hosea 11:1. And I did I believe it's the NIV. Okay, God's love for Israel. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them, I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek and bent down to feed them. Will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? A sword will flash in their cities. It will devour their false prophets and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me. Even though they call me God Most High, I will by no means exalt them. How can I give up on you, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zebulun? Okay, so for these hard words, I just pretend like the first letter is somebody else's name. So Zebulun, I was like Zebo. My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I devastate Ephraim again, for I am God and not a man, the Holy One among you. I will not come against their cities. They will follow the Lord, and he will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come from Egypt, trembling like sparrows, from Assyria, fluttering like doves. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord. Holy mackerel, okay? That's a whole lot. So, breakdown, we're going to start with my first point. This one slapped me, and when I tell you that I, normally when I'm preparing for these messages, it, like, takes me a little while to get into it. But when I sat down, I literally got every point, every scripture, everything that came to me. And I was like, all right, Lord, let's go. My first point is, you're taught to walk, but you wander. So you guys have seen my daughter, Ariella. She's a wanderer. She is something. But when she first learned to walk, she was right there at your hip, just like coming because she didn't want to walk. She wanted to crawl fast, but she was learning how to walk. And as she walks now, she wanders and goes wherever she wants. And I feel like that's really where we are, is that we know the Lord, we know the word, we know what he has to say to us, but we're constantly wandering because of the next best thing or whatever else. And sometimes we're not able to catch ourselves because we don't see it, because we're like, God says, I feel like God says, I feel like maybe, and he didn't actually. And so we're wandering, and we don't realize how lost we truly are until it gets to that bottom of the barrel and you're like, dang it, Lord, I should have just listened to you. I'm sorry I didn't do that. So for this, when we go to verse 1 and 2, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed and they burned incense to images. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called him my son. We are called. And I say this, I swear, every time I'm up here. We are called. We are set apart. And I'm not saying that as a repetitive thing. We need to know that in our hearts and know who we are. That these scriptures and these words truly do speak to us. That we were called and we were hand chosen. When I was 16-year-old wing house girl in underwear and a tank top, God still chose me. Even though I walked away from him and I woke up next to a man or drunk or whatever the case may be, God still chose me, but I wandered away from him. When we are born sinful. We are born knowing who the Lord is, but we are just born of a sinful nature because we're born into a sinful, dark world where we have to be able to discover who the Lord is and how he speaks to us. Because it's in that way that we find our relationship with Christ, and not the relationship that our parents say to us or a pastor says to us or anyone has to say to us, but it's our relationship that nobody can take away from you. And let me tell you this and remind you this, that if you feel like you are distant from the Lord, it's because you have turned away. It is not because God has distanced himself from you. That is a lie of the enemy, and straight to the pit of the hell is where you can send that, because God is not, he's there with you. Even in your sin, when you're committing it, he is there with you. And he wants nothing more for you to come and stand next to him. And in the same way that we are cursing God, and Hosea is talking how Israel is cursing God. Cotton mouth, guys, work with me. But it resonated so much with me because we can all attest to that. It might not have been something about like sleeping around or drinking or whatever the case might be, but we all have the way that we wander from God. And he had to pick us back up and we had to run to him with open arms. And I don't know what that looks like for you, but I know that it's something that we can all relate to. And it's the same thing that Pastor Richie has said multiple times today, is that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. If you're afraid to share about those things that you've been through, that's something that you have to bring before the Lord, because God allowed you to walk through that. He brought you to that trial knowing that you would overcome it, but not that you would just overcome it, but that you would then help somebody else who's going through that and speak that life into them. Don't allow them to suffer because you're not truly over that guilt and shame. And let me tell you again that that is not from the Lord. Once you've overcome that, you are forgiven, you are redeemed, and you are set free to walk. And you have the ability and the authority to be able to say that I'm no longer held captive for what that was. I walk in freedom and I walk in victory because the Lord has already set me free. So let me walk alongside of you and help you, because this is how I did it. This is how the Lord worked through me. So we're taught to walk, but we wander. And I want to be a people right now, and especially what we're going through, that we are taught to walk, but we don't wander. We walk in line with what the Lord has to say to us and through us. And we are walking as an army, because we're at battle, church. We are at war right now. And this is the time that we do not have the time to hide. We don't have the time to wander. We don't have the time to just sit in silence. This is where we have to restore our voices and be able to run diligently after the Lord and what he has for us and where he has for us, whether we want to go or not. That's a word for me. Ooh. My second point. Punishment does not mean lack of love. this was so huge for me when I was reading this. And throughout Hosea, it says that even though he is God, he's not going to turn away from him, although he does want to. And of course, we know, and if you're a parent in here, you know you want to turn away from your child when they're doing something wrong, or you want to slap them or something. But we are the parent, and God gave them to us, you know. And like I was saying in my first point, some of you guys don't know my story. And so coming to the Lord, every time I sinned, I was like, oh God, all I knew is my dad. And my dad was not nurturing at all. He is a very heavy-handed man, if you know what I'm saying. So for me, when I sinned against God the first time, I was like, he's not going to forgive me. There's no way I can come running back to his arms. Why would he welcome me in? Look what I've done. And so for me, because of that lack of love and because of that lack of community, I ran. And I wanted to know God. And so I showed up to church every morning, every Sunday morning, but no one asked me what I was doing the night before. No one showed me how to repent and how to walk the right way. And we might even be mature Christians now, which all of us are, but that doesn't mean that sin doesn't happen. That doesn't mean that temptations go away just because you're mature. So the same way when you were a baby Christian and you had to come before the Lord and repent, you still have to do that now. But how much harder is it when you're a mature Christian than when you're a baby Christian? Because when you're a baby, it's expected. So now we're adults and we're mature Christians, but we're still walking in something, or we still have a noose, or the enemy still has some type of control. And what do? Our immediate response is to run and to hide or smile and not let anybody know what's going on. But what does that do? It breeds ground for the enemy to continue to lie to you and to allow you to do the things in the dark that need to be brought to the light and walk through. Punishment does not mean lack of love. The reason that there are consequences, even when you're forgiven, is because God loves you. For me and my dad, like I said, he's very heavy-handed. Still to this day, I would venture to say that he does not truly love me. But I know for a fact, that the Lord loves me. And he will seek me out no matter where I am, no matter what I am doing, no matter what I'm going through. So when I look to the Lord, I'm like, okay, my dad versus God. Okay, there's not much of a fight there. But for me, I need to know what that love is. I need to know what nurturing is so I don't run from the Lord. And we may not all have daddy issues, but we have some type of issue that comes from a man that has happened in our life. And it might be hidden, it might be whatever, but we've gone through relationship after relationship, friendships, cousins, friends, whatever the case might be. And somehow, in some way, God gets the rut end of that stick. Because anytime we look to a man, we compare him to God in comparison to what happened to us. Like I said, for me, I didn't know what love was until I truly submitted and learned what submit means. And sat with the Lord to know what his love means. That no matter how far I go, no matter how far I run or try to run, because we all have done that, how far I try to run from my calling, from my anointing, or from him, he meets me there. And I feel dirty and disgusting, and I feel not worthy. And then he picks me up or reaches for me, and he says, I still choose you. No matter what, I love you. I choose you. Come here. And I had to walk through that, of what that really did look like. Replacing a man, any man, with knowing that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not bring you somewhere and leave you somewhere. Anytime you are faced with a trial, no matter what that looks like, the Lord is walking you through that. And I can definitely attest, and I'm sure if we actually sat in it and are honest today, we can sit and say, like, now that I look back on it, we went through hell, but I see God's hand in it no matter where we are. Right now, if I'm being honest, I'm in a really, really hard season. And I just told God vulnerably, this is really hard. And I don't know where you are, but I know that you're here. And that's me being transparent with him, because one, he already knows my thoughts. So when I'm running, he already knows. And secondly, I don't want to run because it's comfortable. And it's what the enemy brings to us no matter what. It's like, hey, don't you know that this is better? Why would God bring you there? Why would he bring you through this or to this? No matter where you're at with your walk, those things still happen, but they look differently. Because as you level up, the enemy is still there too. His tricks, his tactics, his deceit, his manipulation becomes a little bit trickier. So as I'm walking through this and I'm like, God, I see your hand. I know that you're here. The enemy's like, but why would he bring you through that? Why would he put you in a place where your daughter can get taken away from you? Why would he allow you to walk through this? And that's not God. God didn't bring me into the situation that I put myself in 2 years ago. But he walked me sovereignly and gracefully through that. So now I get to see God for who he is and not see him when I look at my father or look at any other man or even my husband. I see God first as the Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, who sent his son to die on that cross for us, that we get to live for him. We get to walk in authority and know that this is where we are. No man could ever take that from me, and no man could ever take that from any of you. You are redeemed and you are called and you are set free. We get to walk in freedom of that. So punishment does not mean lack of love. It truly means that you are so loved that you have a consequence for your action, but that doesn't mean you're not loved any less, and that doesn't mean that God walks away from you even as you sit through your consequence. Number three, sound the alarm. Does this sound familiar? Were you here a while ago when we did the Watchmen series? So in one of the last verses, it's verse 10 and 11, it says, they will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come from Egypt, trembling like sparrows, from Assyria, fluttering like doves. And I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord. Okay, y'all have been to the zoo, or you know what a lion is, obviously. But when they roar, it is terrifying. Like, to get up and close. I'm at the zoo, so I'm comfortable in between, like, 15 feet of glass that I'm great. So I'm the person that's tapping on the glass, and I'm going to try and make them mad so that I can get a great picture. But when you hear the lion roar, like, even though I know that he can't hurt me, it is terrifying. So now I imagine in this moment that this is the Lord. And he is calling his people back. He is roaring like a lion. And even animals in the jungle are terrified of lions when they roar because they have that authority in their voice. So I thought of it in this way, that when the Lord is roaring, which is what I feel like he's doing right now, he is sending an alarm to call his people back and to wake them up. And like I was talking about, that we get comfortable and we don't even know how far we're going because we're mature Christians and we're great and we know the Lord and we can have quiet time. But there's that one thing that God's asking us to let go of and we're not. But there's that one thing that God's asking us to do and we're not. That one person that God's asking us to talk to and we're not. And there's going to come a day where we don't get that chance again because God's pestering you and he's poking you and he's asking you to do these things. And you're like, maybe tomorrow. Maybe the next day, maybe next week. And that moment doesn't come, or that person's no longer there. And then what? Then you have that guilt, like, I didn't get to talk to them. I didn't get that moment. Because God chose you to do something, and because something else was important, or you just decided to say no, you walked away. And he asked somebody else to do it. And I don't want to be a person that has to walk in any type of guilt or repentance that says, like, sorry, God, I didn't do it. And you ask somebody else to do it. Like with Overcome, I have a nonprofit that basically shares everybody's testimonies for a little glimpse. But had I said no, God was very, very like authoritative to say, like, if you don't do this, I'm giving it to somebody else. And how about you guys? Each of us have a calling and we're called to do something and set apart and be a teacher and be evangelists and go and just make disciples. But we say, not today. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, or somebody else can do it. It's fine. But we have to answer to that at the end of our days. So God right now, in what is happening, and it might look fearful between COVID and now Afghanistan and everything else that's happening, and it looks scary because it is scary. But this, I feel like, is God's roar. This is him telling us that it's time to wake up. that we have to go, that we have to get ready for this fight. Because what happens when it does approach you? Are you ready? Or is something else more important? You answer to that at the end of your days. Even delayed obedience is still disobedience. If you are called to do something, that is what we walk in. We are called to do it then and now because you don't know when your next chance is going to be. I really feel like this roar that is happening, that we all hear it differently because we all have a different calling. So I want you guys and I challenge you guys to truly sit with that this week. This isn't the ending yet, but it's on my heart. To sit with that and whatever your calling is and whatever God is roaring in your ear to that you can't shake anymore, answer to it. And what does that look like in your job, in your barista? I go to Starbucks way too much, so I always say barista because I know there's somebody else in here like me, just saying. Or the grocery store, whatever that looks like. A blog post, starting something, beginning something, walking something out, letting something go, transitioning jobs, school, whatever that looks like for you. Listen to what that roar is because once it's gone, that's a scary place. My final thought and what I'm going to kind of lag on here is that it always runs out. When we were new to our walk, or when you really came to know the Lord, I want you to tell me what, when you tried to run, because we've all done it, when you tried to run, what was the reason? Just yell it out to me. What was the reason that you tried to run? Fear, yes. The unknown. Shame. Anybody else? Nobody's ran. He didn't love me. Oof. Relatable. You're not good enough. Okay. What was it? Lack of confidence. And when you did run and you sat in those lies, how far did you get? Nowhere. Nowhere. You might have sat in your pity party for a little while. It might have felt good temporarily. I've done it a few times. And it feels good temporarily. But then you lay your head down at night and you're like, oh, crap. There's your thoughts again. There it is. But equally with God and what he has to say about us is equal to what the enemy is also saying. So I'm afraid. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not good enough. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I chose you. These things and these promises is exactly what we get to stand on. Because every time you run away, whatever you're searching for, whatever you think fills you to the brim, it always runs out. Every single time. That relationship, it fills me. It feels so good. I'm so loved. Until it doesn't. That new job and the pay that you get with it and whatever else comes with it, it's so great until it's not. Because although you have all these things and it might be filling you up, it's leaving you so much more empty. And so when you approach the Lord again and you have to account for everything that just happened, you are so much worse off than when you ran. Because now you've caused so much more detrimental, emotional, and other things that you can't even see that you're going to have to sit with and the Lord's like, God, if you would have just waited, if you would have just held on a little bit longer. I've always seen this picture, and it's this guy in like a, wherever you mine for diamonds. I don't know. Go with it. So he's like mining for diamonds. And he's like hitting this wall, and like maybe an inch away is all these beautiful diamonds. And so he's going at it, and then there's a guy under him, and he's going. He's right at the same thing with the guy, and he walks away. And there was an inch left to get those diamonds. If you just kept pushing, you would have gotten there. And that guy was determined. He was going to get that promise. He was getting those diamonds. And the other guy walked away. I want to be the person that keeps mining. I want to be the person that keeps pushing. Because the one thing that never changes is God's word. It never changes. It never runs out. It's always promised. So when I'm caught in the middle of a rock in a hard place, I want to say that I stuck it through. that God showed me his promises, that he called me by name and he set me apart to be able to do this and to be able to walk through those hard things. And no matter where I go and what I do, he is there in the midst of it. And he's made perfect in our weakness. So when we are weak, he is strong. And you might have heard this so many times, but how applicable is it right now in the seasons that we walk through? When we have to give up something that we really want, don't want to. We have to walk somewhere that we really don't want to. We have to close the door that we've been standing in front of. End a relationship, a friendship, do something that we really don't want to. And you're like, God, where are you? I just want it. He's like, I'm here, but what are you gonna do? However obedient you are in this season determines your promised land. So you can walk for 40 years or you can walk for 7 days. That's really up to you. What really brought to mind was the prodigal son, because we all know the story, but it always runs out. He took all of his riches and his inheritance and he ran away, and he was willing to come back to be a slave. Can you imagine coming back home to be a slave? But he was willing to do that because he didn't want to live the way that he was anymore. And when he came back and when he came running home, he wasn't met with somebody to hurt him or whatever the case may be, or even be a slave. What did his dad do? He threw him a party. What? He gave him a ring, a coat, the fattest calf. Are you kidding? But that's so true. No matter how far we run, no matter how far we wander, God is there and he is roaring like a lion, because no matter what, he will pursue you to bring you back to him. He is not willing to let you go and be lost in the trenches. And if you're lost there, it's because you are choosing to be there, not because God is not with you in hell. So when you come running back, no matter what that looks like, no matter how small or big it might be, God has open arms and he's saying, welcome home. Let's have a party. Here's the jewelry. Here's the calf. Let's feast. Let's do it. We get to do that because that's what he has for us. The faithful and endless love of God. That is a promise in itself. Hold on to that this week, today, and every day, that God is faithful to the end. And he loves you. And he does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the one constant thing that we have in our lives. And amidst everything that is continually changing, no matter how dark the world is going to continue to get, we know who wins, who comes out on top. We know who gets the yes or the no to anything. He has the authority over everything. He created it. And he created you before your parents formed you in the womb. Before they even thought about you, he chose you. He chose you to go through these trials. He chose you to come out on top. And even if you don't, God is still good. Even if you are disobedient, God is still good. He is still there. He is still sovereign. He is still Alpha and Omega. And we need to remind ourselves of that. No matter how big the storm is, no matter what our world looks like, we are children, sons and daughters of the Most High. Crown yourself with that. So God, I pray over this church. I pray over these people. I pray over this family in here, Lord God. I thank you for the words that you spoke through to me today. I thank you for this team. I thank you for their love, Lord God. I thank you for their obedience. And I pray that if there is anything that is hindering them from their next level, Lord God, that you just show them what it is and sit with them so they can be overcomers, so that they can walk in that authority and know who they are and whose they are. I pray that this word is just ignites a flame inside of them to be able to speak and go and preach your gospel to anybody and be willing to always go. Thank you for reminding us that we are free today, that we have authority, that we are chosen, and that we are crowned victorious because of what you did through your son on the cross. We ask all of that in your name. Amen.